So you are listening to WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport and WPKM 88.7 FM Montauk. My name is Binnie. You're listening to Binnie Klein Radio Show here on Thursdays from 9 a.m. until noon. And I'm very excited right now because I have three guests in the studio and two more to hook up with on the phone. And I'm going to start off by introducing Andy Thibault, who, there are so many things I can say about you. Former boxing judge, writer, mentor, incredible blogger. And he's come in today to talk about an upcoming event that will benefit Connecticut Young Writers. So welcome.
Thanks for having us, Binnie.
So give us the basic lowdown on the event.
Okay. Well, the Connecticut Young Writers Trust has a simple purpose, which is to affirm the work of young writers, give them lots of money, and have good parties. And on January 15th, we're having an event at the Hartford Club, which will include workshops and continuing education units for teachers. There's workshops in sports writing, because as evidenced by Felicity, the girls really kick the boys' butts in this competition. We want to bring in more boys.
And Felicity is here, Felicity Sheehy, who is a young poet that has benefited from some of these programs.
Right. She's a repeat winner. She was a county champion 2 years and a state champion for 09 in poetry in Connecticut among about 500 competitors. And our event, January 15th, is called Gabby versus the Iceman. Gabby is the poet Gabby Calvoco-Racy, who has a diverse fan club, including feminists, academics, and boxers. And the Iceman is Iceman John Scully, former light heavyweight contender, trainer, articulate speaker, and a writer himself. And they'll be reading from their works in the ring. We have a number of other great poets and writers, including yourself, Binnie. And we have a big band with vocalists, and we'll have live boxing and a few surprises.
It sounds amazing. Also with us in the studio is Bruce Coffin, who is a teacher at Westover School, who's nurtured many county finalists and champions in the competition. Bruce, when did you realize that Felicity had this talent?
Well, quite early in her time at Westover School. I think it was one of her reasons for coming to Westover was that she caught sight of a copy of The Lantern, which is our annual magazine of art and poetry, and was impressed with what she saw there. And her parents saw that Westover was a place that took poetry writing very seriously. And I first became aware of her talents, I think, in her sophomore year when she produced two splendid poems for our magazine.
Felicity, true that?
Right, yeah.
And you are a senior now.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me a little bit about your interest in writing and when you first began to write.
I've written for a very long time, actually. I think I wrote my first poem when I was around 7-ish, maybe. I mean, it wasn't very good, but I became serious about writing in middle school, and I would write, I have like notebooks of the poems that I've written from then, and I became really serious when I went to Westover, and I had the mentors that I needed and some of the support that was necessary to really produce good poems.
I have some poems written when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I know what you mean.
Right.
I mean, it's just something that sort of takes you over, I think. When you look back on some of those earlier things, do you still like them?
I like them in that they're mine, but I like seeing how my work has progressed because I can see how when I first started and I didn't always do things the way I do them now, and I've progressed with my writing.
And studying with your teacher, Bruce, it's so wonderful to have a combination of a writer and a mentor here because in a way this whole event coming up January 15th, the Connecticut Young Writers Triple Knockout event is about just that, is about cultivating, supporting, and mentoring young writers, which is a real passion of Andy Thibault's. And I'm very grateful that he was able to come in and talk about it. It's on a Friday. It's going to be at the Hartford Club. And there's going to be just a whole assortment of incredible events. And amongst those events are going to be boxing and some big band music. And we'll talk more about that later. What kind of things, Bruce, did you feel you brought to the table in helping Felicity become more confident as a poet?
Well, first of all, I have to say that the whole English department really serves as mentors to our young poets. I happen to be the editor of the literary magazine, but we're all very much involved in it, and we all swap the poems that our students produce back and forth, and trade impressions and things like that. But I could see with Felicity right straight away that she had the secret of concreteness there. She was a poet that you didn't have to remind that the purpose of poetry is to evoke and not to explain. And she also seemed to understand just sort of intuitively that the process of revision is a process of getting rid of stock phrases and cliches and stale ways of speaking. There's always an originality in her work, even in the early drafts. And she's a tremendous self-critic. So what she's presenting oftentimes will be the last of any number of drafts that she's undertaken herself.
Thanks, Mr. Coffin.
Well put, right?
Yeah.
So he's your greatest supporter, and the whole English department, right?
Right. Everyone at Westover is wonderful.
Are you going to, I guess seniors these days know where they're going to school and everything next year.
I don't.
Good for you. I'm a rebel from the 60s, what can I say? But you have some ideas.
I have some ideas.
You want to study writing?
I want to study writing and science both, actually.
What aspects of science interest you?
Biology mainly, like psychology, neuroscience, things like that.
You are picking the perfect time to explore that because the developments in neuropsychiatry and, you know, the mind-body connection are just all over the place right now. Fantastic. So we are listening to WPKN together. By the way, it's a listener-supported station, and if you're listening on the internet, as many of our listeners do, WPKN.org, there's a little button there that says donate, and that's, I want you to visit our tip jar and help us stay on the air and do these kinds of programs. So, Andy, we're definitely going to hear some reading of poetry from Felicity very shortly. We'll also be on the phone with John Iceman Scully and Gabby Calvocoresi. Calvocoresi. I've been so paranoid about goofing up her name, and I hope she's listening and knows that I have this fear and that she takes pity on me. Calvocoresi, how was that?
I'm sure she's used to it.
Is she used to it? So, and she's going to read. But I do have Andy Thibault here, Felicity Sheehy, and Bruce Coffin. So I want to jump back to Felicity and ask you if you would, in fact, being a Connecticut young poet, read us something and set that up for us.
Sure. I'll read the poem that I won for the Impact Competition. It's called Evening Conversation. Talking to you on the phone, I lean against the screen door. As the day leeches out of the field, every larkspur and milkweed turning to gold. Though it is just sunset, I can hear the night sounds from your kitchen, your words punctuated by the clatter of dishes. You tell me a bit about today, how you stayed home and washed all the counters, seeing your pale face move from surface to surface. Out in the garden, the asters burn into clarity, their petals limn with sunlight. You list what you're doing, walking from room to room to switch on the lamps as your house fills up with evening. This is all that you have now, this night. I know you would tell me more if you could only remember it. These times, you say you're grateful, the time passes quickly, blurring your vision with so many years that you squint at the light of your life. Maybe this is what death is, I think, watching the Queen Anne's lace fade to stars in the shadowy field. So much light gathering into us, then touching us back to darkness.
Very powerful. You know, I happen to have a copy that Andy sent me. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at as you read, you made a modification.
Did I really?
Uh-huh. But maybe it's been a revision.
I'm revising.
Here, tell me, see the end part? Because it's such an incredibly powerful part. It was like the order of the last few stanzas is so fascinating to me.
Cause, oh, I did.
Right? Do you prefer it the way you just read it?
I think I actually prefer it the way I read it.
that's it, right on the spot we created.
I think the copy I printed out, I had changed earlier.
You had changed?
Yes.
Well, I love this poem. Give me that page back. I want it, even though it is out of date in the oeuvre of Felicity Sheehy. It's very spare. It occurs to me very spare and very unpretentious, but it really sneaks up on you. And I know you would tell me more if you could only remember it. I think that maybe this is what death is, so much light gathering into us, then touching us back to darkness. Those are such beautiful lines. Do people ask you to describe the inspiration for poems? Does that bother you? You know, do you like to talk about the background? Or?
Well, I'm never really sure where poems come from exactly, so it's difficult always to pick the exact inspiration. Frequently a poem comes from something that has happened to me, something that I've heard, something that I've been thinking about, and I'll have a certain line that matches with it, and then somehow it'll work together and I'll have a poem.
And it springs from there.
It does.
I remember in doing a certain amount of poetry writing in earlier years that sometimes a line would come to me, just one line, and then things would move from there. And it would seem at first like that was the first line of the poem. But once you get deep into the revisions, it may be either discarded altogether or buried later somewhere. Well, not buried, but placed later.
Right. Normally endings come to me first, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's very interesting. So it's sort of like the, was once told, like I was in a Wesleyan writers conference once, and I guess it was Roxana Robinson, a novelist, was saying that when you're writing, you can imagine a fish, and you may have the tail of the fish, or you may have the head of the fish, but as long as you have one, you've got kind of a place to go. So it sounds like you are imagining the tail, like kind of the impact that you want to have.
Right.
Or the most emotional part of it. And are anybody else in your family literary or writers?
My mom likes to write, but she doesn't do it extensively at all. I think she wrote mostly when she was in college. And her father also liked to write. But it's mostly on my mother's side. There are a lot of English majors.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was an English major. How about you, Andy? What did you major in?
Nothing academic, although nominally political science.
Oh, yeah, because didn't you become a lawyer?
No, I just bother lawyers.
Oh, you bother lawyers.
Yeah.
Can you give us the name of your blog?
It's the Cool Justice Report, cooljustice.blogspot.com. But more importantly, anybody can read this poem in the spring 2010 edition of Connecticut Review, which is the literary journal of the Connecticut State University System, which is the primary sponsor now for the Young Writers Competition. And you can reach the Young Writers website through the CSU system website, which is www.ctstateu.edu. Then you can click on Community and Young Writers, and you can get the entry form for our 2010 competition and basic information. The deadline is a February 1 postmark for our 2010 competition.
Say that again. The deadline is February 1
postmark.
For the 2010 competition?
Yes.
And how many entries do you tend to get?
Glad you asked. Since 1998, more than 5,000 young poets and writers have competed.
Wow.
We've given away more than $182,000.
And, that is so fantastic.
A good chunk, thanks to Bruce and his team, is going to Westover Kids.
So what's going on over there in the water? They're just like, you know, breeding like these little geniuses over there. Where is Westover?
Westover is in Middlebury, Connecticut. It's a girls' boarding school, grades 9 through 12. And it's very funny that you should say what you just did, because visiting poet Marianne Baruch thinks that we've discovered some sort of elixir. She asks if there's something in our drinking water that inspires the creation of so much good student poetry. I don't know. That may be, but we work very hard at it, and all the English teachers require two poems from all their students every year, and the students, and we expect revisions, and so we're working with students pretty much all the time, fall and winter terms, on the poems that they write.
I would expect, though, that it's still somewhat remarkable to have someone like Felicity who winds up publishing like this.
Yes, well, yeah, the difference there was she was a poet when she came to us, and so she really had the advantage in that way. And Impact has been so, to just put in a plug for Impact, it's been so important to us because it's given the girls a sense of a wider audience for their work, and the sense, too, that there are our standards and our excitements and our enthusiasms are supported by a larger community out there.
Will you both be at the upcoming Hartford Club event?
Oh, I hope so.
Me too.
Oh, that would be great. I look forward to seeing you.
I hope so, too.
Don't we hope that? For sure.
I have a registration form here, which you can get at that CSU website. And you can also call me at 860-690-0211 or register by email, tntcomm82@cs.com.
It's going to be a great event. And we should focus on the event a bit. Teachers, students are going to be there, boxing fans, music fans.
Well, if we get back to the teachers, if you listen to Bruce long enough, you'll think he never did anything, but he's like one of the unsung heroes of Connecticut teachers. A couple others come to mind, Denise Abercrombie of E.L. Smith, Vicki Nordland of Rockville High. But you have this core of teachers who have been nurturing young writers in our program for many years, and you see them again and again with their county finalists and county and state champions. And remarkably, this year we had our first homeschool state champion, and we do accept homeschool entries, and we've even had entries from the Nyanic Jail of teenage girls. So we accept, you don't have to be in school, you can be incarcerated on the street, anybody can enter, and just get your entry form, you can download it at a library.
I'm reading that during this academic year, two young writers from each of Connecticut's eight counties will win cash awards for either prose or poetry writing. And again, as Andy was saying, entries must be nominated by a teacher.
Right.
So that we should stress that you need your mentor to nominate you in a public or private school or homeschooled, right? Or incarcerated, and postmarked honor before February 1st. And the work of state winners who receive additional cash prizes may be published in the Connecticut Review.
They're considered and almost always published. And then the event, we have the 11 a.m. workshops in either poetry or sports writing. And at noon, we'll have lunch to the sounds of the Jen Allen Big Band. A lot of Hart School music people in that outfit. And we have some dynamic vocalists who have done Aretha, Gladys Knight, jazz standards. After that, we have a very strong undercard of poets and writers, including Binny, who will talk about her memoir as a therapist and a kid growing up, hanging out with her dad, smoking cigars and watching the fights.
And it wasn't me smoking the cigars, just to clarify.
And another person on that card is Amy Ma, who was our 2001 state poetry champion, and she's now a teacher in the Hartford Public Schools after going to Wesleyan undergrad and Central Grad School.
Franz Dusky's on the undercard.
Yes, he's a founding board member of the Young Writers Trust and a poet and a writer, teaches at Gateway. I don't want to say anything about him because he's my friend and I'd go right off the map.
You mean you're a little biased?
Yeah.
I knew him back in the 70s in New Haven in the sort of poetry world, and I was more involved in that. And One day I saw him in a coffee shop in Hamden, and I don't think he recognized me, but I wanted to go up to him and say, Franz. And now through this event, we are reconnecting.
Yeah.
And then the co-masters of ceremonies. Tell us about them.
Well, Rand Cooper is a travel writer for Bon Appetit, and he's been a host and a judge for many young writers' events, as has Ravi, I don't play the sitar, Shankar, who's a poet and a professor at Central. Jeffrey Dressler is a Hartford lawyer and boxing ring announcer and benefactor. So that's our MC team.
Beautiful. And, you know, Andy had asked me to participate in this event, but I had to come up with a boxing nickname. So I sent him one, which was Binny Calamity Klein. But he didn't like that and came up with something so much better. Binny the Demon Barber Klein, which makes no sense, but I love it.
Yeah, well, I thought of Sweeney Todd slitting people's throats.
When you thought of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's good. I think we're on the same wavelength here. I like that. Some of the workshops at this event at the Hartford Club, Andy, you're including sports writing, teaching sports writing.
Right. We have Paul Doyle, who's a sports writer for the Hartford Current. And it sort of flows from Gabby and the Iceman, poetry and boxing, writing and boxing. Somebody said to me the other day, well, how does that go together? And I said, well, you ever read Norman Mailer, George Plimpton?
Joyce Carol Oates.
Right, right. And I should mention Chandra Prasad, who's a novelist, will be there. Kate Rushin, a poet. Rich Esposito, who wrote a book about the NYPD bomb squad. Shoshawa Chi, who's a professor at West Con, has a book of short stories and a few novels. And Bob Lucy, who people might recall as Prince of the City in the film played by Treat Williams, he came after Serpico, and for many reasons is more significant. Bob is now a novelist and a professor at URI, University of Rhode Island. And doing the workshop and teaching and writing poetry is David Capella, who's a professor at Central.
This is phenomenal. It really is an event celebrating teachers.
Right.
Which doesn't happen enough. I mean, you know, I've talked with friends about this over the years, that teachers underpaid, you know, woefully underrecognized, should get some kind of, in my opinion, like a government break. Here's my idea. If you're a teacher, you don't have to pay taxes. What do you think of that?
Well, you could move to Ireland and do that.
Is that, do they have that there?
Well,
yes,
writers.
They do.
Writers don't.
They do?
Taxes.
Yes, writers.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Should we go? Should we just all go to Ireland? Felicity, did you bring anything more to read?
I do have a couple more.
Okay, sure. That'd be wonderful. Because what I'd like to do now is we're talking with Andy Thibault, Felicity Sheehy, Bruce Coffin, and it's about time for us to make our call to Gabby.
Hey, Gabby.
Andy, hello.
So spill your guts. I told our listeners about your unique fan club of academics, mainstream poets, performance poets, feminists, and boxers. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, but one of your poems is published in the Hartford Club's Prospect magazine. You got a two-page layout there in a magazine that just hit the street.
It's such a beautiful magazine. I saw it, Andy. It's great.
Great. So tell us what you're going to do, how you're going to slap the Iceman around, and what's going on with this event.
I don't feel like I can slap the Iceman around. I feel like I'm going to just have to be, you know, I feel like he's so incredible that I'm just going to have to be very careful and follow his lead. And but I'm so excited to be reading with him. I can't even tell you. And just, you know, I grew up watching the fights, and the idea that boxers and boxing judges and trainers are really taking to this book in the way that they are, it's like, it's so incredibly exciting to me. And to do it in Connecticut, where I grew up, in Hartford, it's just, it's amazing to me. It's really exciting.
Gabby, I think you're breaking up a little, but I'll jump in to kind of repeat some of the things that you said. Gabby is a Connecticut native, and she's the author of two acclaimed books of poetry, The Last Time I Saw Amelia Earhart, great title, and Apocalyptic Swing. And her poem Circus Fire, 1944, received the Paris Review's Bernard F. Connors Prize. She's been the recipient of numerous awards. And Gabby, if you're still there.
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. So you're in Vermont right now?
I'm in Vermont. I'm actually, this is sort of the craziness of my life. I am in the shuttle. I have just finished being the guest poet at Bennington College for the term, and I'm in a shuttle to get on a plane to fly home to Los Angeles. So I'm so glad that you guys could fit me in the middle of this crazy whirl of a life of mine.
Well, we are thrilled. I mean, what's exciting, Gabby, is that I never thought of the life of a poet as being like such a jet set sort of a situation. But from having read some of your postings on Facebook, man, you are on the jet sled of life right now.
Well, I've been so lucky. I've been very fortunate, and one thing that I think living in Connecticut, where I live, I live in that part of Connecticut that's a little closer to Hartford, and I think people think about the Fairfield area, which is wonderful, but I grew up in a sort of area that was both rural and also city, and there were so many different kinds of people, and I think that one of the things I learned was that there wasn't any one kind of person or any one kind of audience. And so I've been very lucky in that it's always been my belief that these poems could speak to all kinds of folks. And so far that has been the case. And I've been on something like, this is maybe my 26th plane in the last 45 days or something. So this is wonderful.
God, you are a true phenomenon. I remember in my 20s writing and doing some poetry readings throughout New York City, but thinking, how am I going to make a living at this? I had dropped out of school in the 60s, and I was writing, but I thought, wow, you can only make a living as a poet if you do one of two things. You teach, which at that point I wasn't drawn to, but I wish I had, or you become kind of a star poet like Mark Strand, or like Gabby Calvo-Caressi, who is our star.
Well, I just feel so lucky because I like to talk to people, and I realize that most people have stories to tell, and both of these books, do that. This, the boxing stuff is very much about that, and so I just feel very fortunate because I get to go all over and talk to folks, and it's amazing what you get to do.
Gabby, do you have something, I hope you're not driving while doing this, but
you're on the shuttle. Remarkable Karen Champlain Adventures. If you're ever in Vermont, that's who you should be having driving around. Let me tell you, they're amazing. They've saved me all term.
You are a wild woman. So you can do a little bit of reading for us?
Oh, I sure can. I thought that maybe I'd read a couple. How many poems would you like me to read, Benny? I can read two. I can read or however many suit you.
Let's start with one, because the ones I'm thinking of yours that I've read, they're not short.
Yeah, no. How about I read a boxing poem?
Because that's what I was hoping. Gabby's boxing poetry has really garnered some amazing attention. She really gets inside the experience of boxers and what it's like to be in the ring.
So I'll read Boxers in the Key of M, as in marvelous and macho, as in Leon's younger brother Michael, a name I learned in Catholic school, St. Michael of the mat, of the left hook and the deafening blow, of teeth glistening as they made their arc to the laps of women sitting ringside. You don't like to see a man get knocked out cold? Then you've never lived in Hartford or any town of boarded windows. Have you ever gotten hit or thrown against a wall? There's a sweetness to it. That moment when your God would forgive you anything. One punch free as yesterday's papers. Marvelous. The way his body moved on the TV screen. And me, I moved around the room, bobbed and weaved. I learned to hold my breath so I could fight with my head held underwater.
That is beautiful. Do another one.
Another one? All right, let's see. Well, there's a long series called Training Camp, Deer Lake, Pennsylvania. And I'll read one from there because Iceman has been placing all these photos he does. Is he there right now?
Actually, no. And we were trying to get him on the phone, but we had some problems.
Well, so she, anyway, so she does all these things on Facebook about Deer Lake training camp, Ali's training camp.
Ah.
And so I have a long series of poems about Deer Lake. And so I'll read one from that series, if that's all right with you.
It'd be
okay?
Great. Hey, and by the way, Gabby, USA Today, of all things, has this huge special edition on Ali.
Really?
Yeah, look for it. I know. Yeah, check it out.
Oh, I sure will. Okay, so this is Deer Lake training camp. This is one of the poems. Sitting in a barn while a man wraps your hands so you don't break your bones when you punch him in the face. That's a privilege. Mostly, you stick to small talk, the weather, the bear that broke into the kitchen and ate all the steaks. Sometimes he makes it tighter than you like, and you suck your teeth and look at the floor. He might tell you how to stay safe in the beating you'll take some weeks from now. He'll go around the bottom of the thumb. He'll come down the wrist, tender. You'll never speak above a whisper. He'll leave you to the ring of your thoughts. How you brought her honey from the comb, laid it gently on the counter. How she kissed each knuckle of your naked hand.
Wow, it's beautiful. I'm so glad we were able to connect this morning and hear some of your poetry. And once again, I'll be able to hear you and everyone will be able to see you live January 15th at the Hartford Club here in Connecticut.
I sure can't wait. I can't wait to meet you, Benny, and I can't wait to, it seems to me this is, it's a reading and it's a celebration of Iceman and my work, but really it's such a celebration of the young writers of Connecticut and, you know, of which I was one, and of Andy and the remarkable work he does in this world. So I feel so privileged to be a part of it. And I would say I won the Connecticut Book Award, and the Hartford Public Library put it on. And I was saying the Hartford Public Library was the place when I was five, I had to get my library card, and they asked me to spell my name, and I realized I couldn't. So it was like this place where I realized I was illiterate, and then like 20, you know, I got the book award. And I think every young writer in Connecticut should be able to make such a remarkable arc, and, you know, we could all be on planes flying places to meet new people. So I'm so privileged that Andy has asked me to do this.
Here's,
and to be on your show.
Yeah, here's to literacy.
Yeah,
and you know, you joined such a fine tradition of writers. And what's amazing about your work is that most of the highly known figures in boxing writing are more known for writing essays. And
yeah.
you have really expanded the form of poetry about boxing.
Yeah. I mean, I love it, and I think that there's so much that boxing and writing poems have in common, actually. You know, you spend so much time training, you spend so much time, you know, imagining what it's going to be like to go out there in public with this poem that you spend, you know, a lot of time in the barn kind of working on alone. And I think for all these young writers, so many of whom I think, you know, that are being supported by Andy, so many of them have had, you know, complicated lives like the rest of us. It's a lot about bravery, too. And so I think we're going to celebrate their bravery on January 15th as well.
We're going to go in a minute and have Felicity Sheehy read a little bit more on Bruce Coffin, her teacher from Westover School. Tell me about this Joni Mitchell song.
Oh, just what do we got going on right now? Do we have,
let me turn it up for you. Yeah.
Oh, well, this is you know, this is one of those great Joni Mitchell songs. It's on the Miles of Isles album. It's my favorite version where she's in Los Angeles and she's singing it. And one of the great things is that I lived in the East Coast and then all of a sudden somehow I ended up living in L.A. And it has been a tremendous journey for me. And I just think she's someone who writes so beautifully, and so much of what she does that I love is actually in the silences in the music and in the tuning of her guitar that's like just a little off, like just a little different. And I don't know, I think she's a great example for me in how you can be a little different and really still attract so many people to your work.
Well, Gabby and I are going to be doing some kind of a show in our future combining writing with the music that inspired you.
Well, I'd love it. Yeah, I'll see you whenever you ask me. I'm ready.
You got it. Well, Gabby, thanks so much for taking time out of the busy poet schedule. Oh, and let's not forget to mention, didn't you get another recognition recently from Barnes & Noble?
I sure did. Last week, Barnes & Noble magazine named my book of poems one of the top 5 books of poems of the year. So I'm thrilled about that. I'm very grateful to them for doing that apocalyptic swing.
You'll be able
Check
to buy that book January 15th at the Hartford Club through the Bookworm of West Hartford. our vendor. And if you want to do advance orders at the Bookworm, it's 860-233-2653.
Right on,
yeah, I
Andy.
I appreciate that. Can I stick around and listen to Felicity? I'd sure love it. I don't have a radio near me.
I think so. I think if I'll have to turn down the volume on your phone, and I'm hoping that you will still be hearing.
Okay.
But I won't.
If I get too disconnected,
okay.
Thank you all so much.
Okay.
I sure appreciate it.
Hey, Gabby, can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for bearing with all the challenges of traveling and trying to call in on a cell phone. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Connecticut. Thank you, Benny.
Can't wait to meet you. Gabby Calvo-Caressi. Since Gabby was going to try to listen and hear another poem from Felicity. Hit it, Felicity Sheehy, Connecticut poet.
Okay. State champion, 2009.
I'm going to read for you, Driving North of Greene County. Sometimes I think upstate is the best place for coming clean. There are all these quiet farmhouses, drying their sheets next to the highway, even the ones that sag at the eaves and molt shingles back to the snow. There, to the left, a husk of a barn twists its spine back on itself, one of its screens swinging in the wind, the way the one-legged mallard, perched on the watering hole, cranes his neck to tuck in a tail feather. And here, I can stop fiddling with time, stop looking back, stop expecting things. There is only the little priest of a sparrow pockmarking the earth, and the dust from the field snowing back to my car, and all the hours I have that are gone and left for vanishing.
Mm.
That's wonderful. Wow.
You're right there, Gabby, right?
Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. That was great.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
What was that phrase?
Great job.
Little priest of a sparrow?
Yes.
That's a wonderful image. Wonderful image. Bruce Coffin is here, Gabby, and he is one of Felicity's mentors. You know, she's been so fortunate to have this great English department at the Westover School.
Yeah, it's really legendary, that place.
And he was talking right before we went to some other stuff about some things, and I would love to have him continue a bit.
Well, I was just saying that we're very fortunate at Westover to have two endowed poetry funds. One enables us to purchase poetry books for the library and to cover expenses incurred by trips that we make outside of Westover, taking our students to poetry readings at Yale and other colleges around the area. But the other one brings poets to campus, and so we have we're able to get either one very big name poet or perhaps two or three minor poets in to do workshops and readings. And I've profited, as a creative writing teacher, I've profited greatly from suggestions that I've picked up in these workshops. And I suppose the person who's helped me most is Tony Hoagland.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I teach with him at Warren Wilson. He's wonderful.
Oh, isn't he? Yeah, he promised that if I would just offer this creative writing course, he would send me all kinds of materials from his poetry workshop in Houston. And
yeah.
So I made the promise and have received ever so much really useful material, assignments, ideas, all kinds of things.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a very good poet and a very personable guy to have around as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What contemporary poets do you all read? Any favorites that you want to mention?
Well, we're all crazy about Richard Wilbur at Westover. Yeah. He's been there three times. We teach him in the curriculum.
Let there be nothing on earth but laundry. What is that line?
Yeah, We also, we've had Billy Collins, and I suppose that's the second best reading we've ever had. Wilbur's are always the best, but Billy Collins' reading was terrific. We read a lot of Howard Nemiroff, whose star has kind of sunk a little bit in recent years. I'm not sure exactly why. Any number of other poets that might make use of in the workshop. Lee Young Lee is somebody that we've read a good deal of.
Ted Kooser
as well.
Ted Kooser,
yes.
That's a name I've heard for many, many years.
Yes, we hope to get him here. We make great use of his poetry home repair manual.
That's what it's called?
Yes. It's a wonderful book on how to write poetry. One of the best.
Gabby, did you have any key mentors you want to mention?
Oh, I mean, I think Mark Doty is someone who really, he was my first poetry teacher.
Wow.
And he just absolutely, you know, changed my life. And I think his poems are so important. And as a teacher, as a figure in the world, I think he's just, if one cannot overstate how incredible he is. In terms of poets who are, I mean, I'm so lucky to be in such a generation of remarkable poets, Tamba Jeff, Jennifer Chang, Matthew Dickman, so many people. And then I think in terms of someone who is a remarkable poet and also one of the very best people writing about craft, I would say Ellen Bryant Voigt, who runs the program at Warren Wilson, is just unbelievable.
Yes, we've had her at
Westover. I've been very fortunate to both know people and to read their work, have incredible teachers. Heather McHugh, as well, as someone who really is very important to me in terms of her work and who she is in the world.
I'm going to throw out some old names of people I studied with. Okay, see if you recognize any of these. Michael Ignato.
Yep,
Diane Wachowski.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Hugh Sideman.
Yes.
William Meredith.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's huge. That's amazing.
I know. I had very good fortune of some remarkable teachers. Once had a consult with Maxine Kumin at Breadloaf.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm a real fan of, though? W.S. Merwin.
Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing.
There is something about a Merwin poem. The minute you enter it, you are captivated by what you imagine to be the sound of him saying it.
Hey, this is Andy. Let me cut in here.
Oh, Andy's cutting in. Andy's cutting in.
We're on the home stretch while we make one final shot to get Iceman, which we have to do.
Okay.
Gabby, there's going to be two sets of Gabby and the Iceman. We're going to have a break in the afternoon and resume at 6 with a reception. Hors d'oeuvres will be furnished by the Warren Group, which publishes the Prospect magazine. And we need you to bring your high rollers to help pay the freight.
All right, I'm ready. I'll bring the high rollers. It'll be like fight night, because there's going to be a fight, too, right?
Yeah. We're still working out the details.
Man. And, everyone's come to Connecticut for poetry and fight night. That's
isn't that
fact.
Wild? I mean, this is, who knew?
Sammy Vega is a main
life.
Man.
Andy. Andy knows all.
Sammy Vega, 7-time national amateur champion, now working as a paralegal with the Dressler Strickland Law Firm, is working on the fight details.
And Gabby, you know, I don't want to underestimate here Andy's role as a mentor and fantastic writer. I mean, on his blog, he had sent me a link of an article you wrote about Willie Pep. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, Andy? Incredible. Oh, he's all modest now. You should see him. He's looking away. No, he is an incredible figure in the Connecticut Young Writers and other sources community in Connecticut. So it's a pleasure for me to... I'm just meeting him for the first time today.
Yeah, he's great.
I think we're going to try, Gabby, to reach out to Iceman one more time. And
all right.
So you can hang on the phone, and we thank you again. If you need to drop off, we understand. Where are you en route to your plane?
Yep, I'm en route to my plane. I'm in the shuttle and headed back to Los Angeles. So, if you come back on and I'm not there, it's just because I'm running in to get on a plane.
Okay, and your book is Apocalyptic Swing.
Yeah, Apocalyptic Swing on January 15th, and you and I will talk. I'll also be at the Sunken Garden on June 23rd, so that'll be great.
Beautiful. Can't wait to meet you. Thanks again. Okay, so we're going to go to a little musical interlude and see if we can raise the Iceman. And Andy, why don't you kind of introduce, and then we'll get him on the phone, John Sculley a little bit.
Well, Iceman John Sculley is a light heavyweight contender, professional boxer. He fought for world titles. I don't remember his record exactly, but he had 36 wins. Right now, he also works as an ESPN commentator. But the thing about Ice, as they call him, is he's one of those guys who would literally give anybody the shirt off their back. As I saw a gentleman at a party to honor Iceman going into the Connecticut Boxing Hall of Fame, and he said, "I'm so proud I can tell people that Ice is my son's trainer. And he takes care of the kids in Hartford, and he's just a dynamic person, a very unique persona.
Sounds very generous.
Yeah,
and very multi-talented, you know, a boxer and a writer and a nurturer of others.
That's him.
Like you.
Yeah.
He's blushing. But you can't see that because this is radio. Okay, so let's put on a little bit of music while I get Ice on the phone. And it's actually relevant music, okay? So here we go. WPKN Radio.
All right, stop, collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. I flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. Extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby.
John.
Yes, sir.
Great to hear from you.
All right, what's happening?
You going to be ready to read from the Iceman Diaries on January 15th?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be picking some good stuff out, I think.
That's great.
And I'll just orient for 1 second and do our legal ID. At 4 minutes after 11, the radio station is WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport and WPKM 88.7 FM Montauk. So looking forward to meeting you, John. I know we met once briefly, but I'm going to look for you on the match with you and Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to read a little bit to us?
Well, actually, right now I'm in a spot where I don't have anything with me. I have trouble with my computer, and I don't have access to it. Actually, I've been trying to get on for like the last 15 minutes. And I keep getting shut off for some reason.
That's technology for us. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're looking forward to in specific about this upcoming event that benefits young Connecticut writers?
As far as I'm concerned, this is an audience that I'd like to get some feedback from on my own book. I'm not a professional writer, but I think I'm pretty good at it, and have a different kind of style. People say I write like I talk, and they seem to like that. So, you know, I'm curious to see what these kids that are looking to do it on a bigger level. I'm curious to see what they think of it, and I'm curious to read about their stuff and listen to them, and kind of compare notes.
John,
it's kind of like me going to school in a way.
Yeah, John, you're a master storyteller in print and when you talk. And like Felicity, our state champion poet here, you know how it is when you got to do a lot of revisions. But I was wondering if you could just tell a little bit about, say, the life of Greg Kyler and those five guys that you trained and took all over the country and... just some of your feelings about that and some of your adventures. Was Sammy in that group of five too, Sammy Vega?
Right, yes. Well, it was myself, Sammy Vega, Greg Kyler, Orlando Cordova, and Dwayne Harrison. They're four kids from Hartford that I actually started training Dwayne when he was 4 years old. He was the original member. I was a professional fighter. I was just turning pro at the time, and he was four. And very underdeveloped for 4 years old. I mean, he only weighed like, 50. When he was 80, he weighed 55 pounds. So, I mean, at four, he was just very, very tiny. And he, he was actually, he lived in the projects in Hartford and Bellevue Square, but he was cross-eyed at the time, and they used to call him Cross-Eyed Charlie, and he didn't get any kind of respect in the from the little kids, and he was kind of picked on and kind of a little bit of an outcast. And when I first met him, he actually used to ask me for a quarter. Every day I would come into the gym, he would ask me for a quarter. And so what I started doing was I started telling him if he carried my bag, which the bag was probably bigger than him at the time, I said, if you carry my bag, I'm going to give a quarter. So he would, it was only like 40 feet to the gym, and he would carry it in every day, and I'd give him a quarter. And so I just remember I said to him, I have a little fun with him, and I said, hey, Dwayne, what's up? And he didn't say anything, and I said, listen, I said, tomorrow when I come in, I'm going to say, what's up? You say the sky. And he said, okay. And then that was it. So I forgot all about it. So the next day I came in, and I said, hey, Dwayne, what's up? Because I was used to him not saying anything. I would just say, hey, what's up? And he would just look at me. And I walked by him. All of a sudden I hear him say, the sky. And I turned around, and I started laughing. I just thought it was so funny and that he remembered. And so I kind of started taking him under my wing and bringing him places with me. And he ended up boxing, and we used to go to my house and box in the basement all the time on the weekends. And so he ended up becoming a very good fighter, a very good boxer. And so over the course of the next few years, I had picked up a couple of, I met Orlando when Orlando was 13.
Let me stop you on Dwayne for a second, John, because besides coaching him as a boxer, I saw him interviewed on TV as a very articulate young man. I don't know if he was 8 then, but he talked, oh yeah, I've been to Ohio, I've been to New York, and he's a little kid.
He was about 11. He was 11 when you saw that video.
Yeah.
And I mean, he ended up being for his age, he was an elite level boxer. He very exciting. He actually in 1998. In the finals of the PAL National Tournament at Disney World, he beat Anthony Peterson from Washington, D.C. And actually right now today, Anthony Peterson is ranked number one in the world as a professional, as a junior welterweight.
Wow.
So, Dwayne, he was in there with some high level of competition, and he was among the best in the country. And he was my right-hand man. I mean, people used to get used to seeing us together. I mean, everywhere. I brought him everywhere with me. I mean, he used to go to my fights, and he used to go to my house. He used to stay at my house. And, I mean, I taught him how to eat with a fork properly, and, I taught him how to comb his hair. And I was kind of, I guess you could say, a father figure to him. His father really wasn't around back then. And, it's just a lot of kids, and I realized that through him, realizing that a lot of the kids didn't have father figures, and actually the four kids that I worked with, their fathers weren't at home with them, none of them.
John, just to interject for a second, you're talking about father figures in boxing, and the incredible relationship between trainers and managers and coaches, with their fighters, and better than anyone what the depth of that relationship. So also in the studio with us is Felicity Sheehy, who is a young Connecticut poet, and her mentor is kind of like her coach. One of her coaches is Bruce Coffin. So right now we're going to go back and hear a little bit more from them. I'm so eager to see you read at this event, John. Thanks so much for being with us. And we'll see you at the Connecticut event, January 15th at the Hartford Club.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling in.
Coming on, John.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, finishing up and tying it all together, boxing mentors, writing mentors, and any last thoughts for the listening audience? Felicity Sheehy here, prize-winning poet from the Westover School with her teacher, Bruce Coffin, who trekked down here from Middlebury,
that's right. Well, I'd like to hear another poem if Felicity would do that for
us. I think that would be lovely, and I think it would be a really nice way to close out. It's about 12 minutes after 11 here at WPKN. We'll get back to some music after this. And reminding you to, I'm going to have Andy give a website out for any further information about the upcoming event in case you are interested in attending. And then we'll go to Felicity's poem, and I'll be thanking all of you so much for participating and coming down today.
Thank you, Binny. The main website for the Connecticut Young Writers Trust is through the Connecticut State University system, which, for those of you who don't know, is Central, Southern, Eastern, and Western, more than 35,000 students. But at www.ctstateu.edu, you can click on Community and click on Young Writers. From there, you can download the entry form to compete for 2010 and the registration form for the January 15th event.
And also, if people follow your blog, which I recommend highly for a variety of reasons, fascinating postings and great links. Cool Justice.
Right. You could just Google Cool Justice, but it's cooljustice.blogspot.com.
And there will be more information about the upcoming event there. Yeah. So let's go to Felicity, and thanks again to all of you.
Okay. I'll read Binoculars. This is March, and my mother and I are cleaning out the attic, muddling in our old lives of summer wear and love letters and moths. She is working in the western eaves of our house, and I am looking at a photograph through a wire screen of dust, thinking how strange it is that at 19, my mother looked nothing like my mother, too much long hair and too wide a grin, a scuffed pair of binoculars swinging from her wrist. Somehow, they have caught the light, descend back to me, clear over all this distance, like the little shaft of spring that trickles down our window. In a minute or two, she will swing her hair around her face and tell me to get back to work, laughing so like and unlike herself. Who knew that this was how it was and would be, that we'd spend all our lives in small moments in the impossible present, coming back to the people we always were.
A point in time.